It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, a county commissioner. Pleasure to talk to you today here at the Bob Spangler Studios, Yquinabay Communications. And with me today from the Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District is Tyler Klaus. Tyler is a watershed program specialist for the Soil and Water Conservation District. Good morning.
Hi, Casey. How's it going?
Oh, it is going, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. I know we planned this quite a long time ago, and so when I sent you an email this week, and you were like, yeah, I'm ready to go, I thought, awesome. Over the years, for our listeners, and Tyler, you probably know this now, we've had Soil and Water Conservation District on the show, a number of times, but continual outreach is always a good thing to let, the community know how Soil and Water Conservation District can enhance the things they're doing on their properties. And so good morning. Thanks for being here. And I'd love to start out with Tyler, how long have you been in Lincoln County, and what brought you here?
Yeah, so I have been in Lincoln County for about 3 years now. I actually moved first to Lincoln City, spent a couple years there, and most recently, about 4 months ago or so, I moved to Newport, and I'm very much enjoying the commute is a lot less. I have about a 3-minute drive, so it's lovely. I miss the beach.
It's beautiful,
sunrise,
right, though?
But
Well, and your trajectory to get where you are now, talk about that a little bit. Does your education, is it congruent with the work you're doing now? And talk about that.
Yeah, so I started off my career in outreach and education. That was my background in my education. And I went from there and returned back from Michigan, where I went to school, to Portland. I grew up in Vancouver, Washington, so Northwest local. But
Does that mean you're a Spartan, by the way? Or
I'm a Wolverine.
Okay. We've got a Spartan in the office, so look out.
Yeah, so I moved back and started doing some regulatory compliance work across the Northwest, specifically for telecommunications facilities to start with, and a number of different historic preservation projects that are linked into the different environmental regulations.
Oh, interesting.
I decided to shift my career about 4 years ago, and I wanted to work more directly with the communities I was living in, so I moved up to the Olympic Peninsula and started running a farmer's market. Did that for a bit, got into some noxious weed work with a wonderful mentor that I enjoyed working with and miss her a lot. I made my way to Massachusetts for a minute with my partner and then made my way back to the Northwest when the pandemic hit. So,
well, what about the work that you're doing now? I think you're wearing probably a couple hats, several hats. Not surprised. Everybody's wearing multiple hats these days, it feels like. Is there anything that drives your passion day to day right now that is noteworthy?
Yeah, I think place-based conservation and working directly with our communities is really what keeps me going. As you said, I am wearing multiple hats, and it's kind of one of those pulled in all directions. But the continuous thing is, and the thing that rejuvenates me every time, is getting to go meet with community members, especially farmers that we work with a lot in the rural settings, and then some of the master gardeners and, urban folks as well.
Yeah. Sometimes I find when I'm grinding in front of the computer and I get out and actually interface with human beings, I feel revitalized. Could you talk briefly about place-based conservation and why that's an important concept?
Yeah, so there's a lot of high-level conservation that we talk about when we're looking at things like climate change, these big issues, these larger concepts. And when we really scale it down and look at the local area here, we get a better look at what individual actions we can take and what community actions we can take to make progress within our own geographic area. And I think those collaborations, especially in areas like the Salettes, when we're working with farmers and we're working with the county and we're working with the state, it still just comes back to all of us meet out there and walk the Salettes, and it's breathtaking and beautiful. And I think there's a renewal of that importance of conserving those resources for recreation, for salmon, for drinking water.
Yeah.
It brings it all together, and that's really the important piece there, is to scale that down.
Yeah, and I know we talked about some testing. Did that ever manifest, and did you get that particular piece together in terms of, because I think you were doing some sampling, and is that something that was a new sample area that you were looking for, or is that just common in the work you do to be sampling water quality?
Yeah, so we're a grant-funded organization, so the types of work we do generally remain the same, including monitoring and, you know, these different restoration activities. But where we do them is all based off of the different plans and the different urgency of the different watersheds. So we are doing a little bit of monitoring in the Salettes. That funding pool is kind of at its end, and we're looking at the future of that. We have some continuous water quality monitoring equipment that is pretty expensive, and we're, you know, it got damaged a couple of years ago, so it got taken out, and we've been trying to find another suitable location. So I've been working with the county. It looks like we're going to potentially do some work at Moonshine Park there, and hope to continue doing some sampling.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, I'd love to help you with that. I know you know where to find me. Now, we're going to focus on the native plant sale. So for our listeners right now, Tyler, let's just flash on when that is and why that's important. So it's coming up pretty soon, right?
Yeah. So the native plant sale is coming up February 11th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we are going to be hosting that at our office at 914 Southwest Coast Highway. For those of you that live around the area, you can see the Windermere Building, the sign there. If you just go to the back entrance, we're going to have a couple of tents and a number of plants. You can find some more info on our Facebook and on our website. And we do have some new plants that are coming up that aren't on our pre-order that was happening. So some things for people that show up to the event that weren't available.
Okay. Well, let's dive into that. We'll take our first break about that pre-ordering as well. Reminders are going off in my mind about those pre-orders last year. So we'll take our break, come back. Let's continue our conversation with Tyler Klaus, Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District Water Program Specialist, and thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a moment on Connections. Lincoln County Connections, every Thursday at 9 a.m. Our guest today, Tyler Klaus, he is with the Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District. So we've got a native plant sale coming, and this is February 11th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tyler was telling us about that before the break. Now, Tyler, I was telling you my story, and I've told it before that at one of the sales, I purchased some huckleberries, brought them home, and I guess just kind of forgot about it. But my wife is a green thumb of sorts, and many years later, she said, "You should really try those huckleberries in the backyard. They're really good." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Walk out. You know, here's a 3-foot bush, with this delicious fruit." And what I found interesting about it was, we didn't have to water these. I mean, they just thrived. They continue to thrive with very little, maintenance. And is that phenomena of native plants, is there a story there to be told about when we choose something that works well in our geography, in our area?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that we get questions about quite frequently. and we work with the OSU Master Gardeners as a partner as well to better understand kind of alternatives for different shrubs and bushes that people want to plant. Understanding that people want them for flowering reasons, or they want them for fruit reasons, or they want them to block their neighbors, or whatever it might be. Coming up with native alternatives to some of the different species can save on water. You know, there's disease issues that can happen as well. There's all sorts of things that planting native plants can really be beneficial for. But I think the best example, like you said, is you plant them and then you forget about them and you come back, you know, even if it's a couple weeks later sometimes and you see some growth. You see a year later and, you know, it's grown 6 inches and you're like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah. Last year, I forget what species of tree I got and I brought it home. My wife's like, do you realize how big this tree is going to get? And I, you know, just kind of scratched my head and I need to think these things through. She's like, wherever we put this, this is one day going to be huge. So let's talk about some known varietals that the community can find this year.
Yeah, so this year we've changed it up a little bit. Normally our native plant sale is in December, and we kind of thought that everyone's getting cozy in December and not really thinking about planting their gardens and, you know, getting
last year it was ground. I mean, we're getting blown all over the place. It was pretty intense.
Yeah, so we moved it to February, and part of that was because of that, you know, we're hoping to get a little more excitement about spring planting. And this year we're featuring a number of pollinator species, forbs and perennials, that support pollinator species in the area. And that's specifically tied to some of our work with the Oregon silverspot butterfly, which is an endangered species here on the coast. And only has a few locations where it's still found. A lot of recovery efforts are happening, and there's a lot of community support. So we are shifting some of our species there. We've got things like red columbine, shooting star. We've got nodding onion, which is an edible one and easy to separate and propagate yourself, so you don't need to buy a bunch of those. We've got camas, and then we've got some of our other shrubs as well. We weren't able to get huckleberry, but we do have twinberry and red flowering currant and red twig dogwood and just some beautiful showy things.
Yeah, yeah. It's I really do recall the shooting star from last year. And if folks are coming to the sale, and like you said, you know, these native plants kind of plant it and forget it. But any recommendations on, you know, cost versus carrying this stuff from the sale to home? How do we need to be prepared? Do we bring cash? Just a few thoughts on that.
Yeah, so we take cash and checks for the sale. We don't currently have a swiper, which actually reminds me I should probably look into that this week.
Yeah.
But most of the species are going to come in 4-inch pots or 1 gallons. We do have a few things that aren't on the online list that are going to be there.
Okay.
And those are in 1 gallon, 2 gallon, and up to 5 gallon. So if you're planning on getting some of the bigger species, I would recommend a truck bed.
Okay.
Or an SUV. That's totally fine. If you're going to be taking them in a truck bed or a trailer or that sort of thing, we do recommend a tarp, because heading down the highway at 50 miles an hour isn't always the best for trees and plants.
So February 11th at 10. And so you did mention too, though, looking forward to farmers market, will we see plants at the farmer market, or will you primarily just be providing information? Can you foreshadow that somewhat?
Yeah, so we're planning a lot of engagement this year surrounding the Oregon silverspot butterfly specifically. So we'll be heading to the Newport Farmers Market, either myself or one of our partners with Fish and Wildlife Service. We'll be going down to Yahats, Waldport, up to Nesquin and Lincoln City as well throughout the season. So,
oh, fantastic.
A smattering of them. I do hope that we can get some plants to give away all, as part of our educational you know, program as well. But that's to be determined on what we can actually get our hands on.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, looking for the Soil and Water Conservation District at farmers markets. Just a few thoughts, Tyler, on pollinators. Maybe just that quick, information about why it's important to support and plant pollinators.
Yeah, so planting pollinator species from, a couple of different ways. We're looking at biodiversity as a big issue, and we're seeing many species across the globe that are just dying off, and we're losing that biodiversity, which is really vitally important to our ecosystems. As we lose pieces, the fundamental building blocks start to get a little shaky. And when we talk about pollinators specifically, especially with our agricultural lands, we're talking about food and how we access our food and how we produce our food. And so many of our foods require pollinators. Mm. So if we don't have those allies, we're going to be out there with Q-tips or other methods having to do it by hand and or some sort of mechanical way. Or, it's advantageous for us to plant species that will support the pollinators, both for our own food but also for general ecosystem health as well.
Mm. Well, thank you. Tyler Klaus, Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District. We're going to take our last break. Stay with us, and we'll be back in just a moment. We are back on Connections. Tyler Klaus, Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District. Tyler, it goes by so fast. With just a few minutes left, a call out to farmers in the Upper Yaquina, and talk about that.
Yeah, so we recently started a new initiative called the Strategic Implementation Area up kind of in the Eddyville and upstream areas. We're looking for some help and collaboration with farmers to implement conservation practices on ag lands. And that's, again, multiple reasons. Primarily up there, we're looking at salmon habitat, and we're looking at just different water quality parameters to make sure that it's good for recreation and all the other things that we need it for.
Well, we'll have to have you back so we can peel back the onion on that. We need several shows to really get into it. And if someone has ag land, they're in the Upper Yaquina, and for the community in general, describe where we find out more about the district.
Yeah, so you can find us on social media, on our Facebook and our Instagram. Just look up Lincoln SWCD. And that's primarily where most of our updates are. You can reach out there. You can also email us via our website. You can find the info there, but info@lincolnswcd.org. Send inquiries there, and we'll get in touch with you about chatting about your property and maybe getting out there to do a sidewalk or something.
Okay, excellent. I was flashing on your website today, looking at the values, and it seems to me like the site has a good snapshot on your purpose and what you do. As far as social media goes, it's your outreach tool. Like you mentioned, Instagram. I didn't realize you were on Instagram. Any particular components of the work you do that you tend to push through social?
Yeah, a lot of our work right now with the Oregon Silver Spot Butterfly is pushed on there. A lot of our outreach events. So we have workshops coming up this spring in the Siletz Basin for our ag users. So we'll be talking about integrated pest management, ecological solutions to agricultural issues related to water quality, and also some infrastructure, looking at things like gutters and things that people may not typically expect.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Attribute and are connected to water quality concerns.
Well, thank you so much for the work that you're doing and, the passion. Water quality, huge. Pollinators, huge. These are all really, really important subjects. And it's great to have you describe to us why these are important things to support for the healthy ecosystem, climate, so many things. And keep me on your speed dial, okay? I'm looking forward to the native plant sale as we finish up here. Remember, the plant sale is February 11th. It's a great opportunity, 10 to 1. Look for the Windmere building. It's in Newport, and you had said 914 Southwest Coast Highway, right?
Yep, and we'll have cookies and coffee and a few things like that from my petite suite. So.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, Tyler Klaus, thanks for joining us today. To our listeners, thanks for listening in, and we'll see you same time, same place next week on Lincoln County Connections.